Talofa, Bula, Malo. Welcome to Pacific Rugby Players Radio. All things Pacific Rugby, all things about us. A place where we take time to talk the big and small issues, share stories and have a few laughs with current and past Pacific Rugby players around the world. So whether on the team bus, driving home from training or on the physio table, sit back, chill and dig down deep on the issues that affect us. Pacific Rugby Players. Here's your host for today.
Talofa love everybody, welcome to PRP Podcast again today. My name's Aidan Clark, absolutely amped for our session on networking and LinkedIn with Robert Hollis. Robert, born and raised in Aranui, Christchurch, started making waves in business really young, now social guru, social content, social everything, making waves across the world, currently living in San Francisco. And what's really fantastic is Robert, former professional snowboarder, loves sports, gets sports, understands the rugby environment, and is going to be giving us all the hot tips about how to utilise your current status, whether you have one or not, at aftermatch functions, sponsors functions, any networking event. And also we're going to talk about how to do that online through LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a really scary place for many rugby players, and I know that any tips that we get from Robert are going to be gold. So tune in, we've got heaps of people online, looking forward to this chat, and no doubt everyone's going to download some good learning today.
Welcome everybody back to another PRP workshop. This one we're all been pretty pumped for because it's about a subject that we get plenty of questions, networking. And that's physically, when we're talking functions, aftermatch functions, sponsor functions or promos that you do, but also online in terms of LinkedIn. It's a bit of a grey area for rugby players and athletes is how to leverage LinkedIn. So thanks for joining us on our PRP workshops. And today, pleasure to have Robert Hollis with us. Before I let him say hello, this man, everyone probably online knows who he is. Grew up in Aranui, started making waves as a professional snowboarder, then went into this whole world of business and as a social content guru and is just smashing through walls in this space. Now, currently, I'll let him explain where he is. But welcome, bro. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, bro. It's always good for a yarn. And especially a spot like this, right? Because there's not too many, I guess, safe spaces to talk about the real shit. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome, bro. So, kick us off. So, how's isolation life? Where in the world are you at the moment?
San Francisco. I missed the fly back to New Zealand by about 4 hours before it was going to be in quarantine. And then I stayed here. And then 2 days later, we went to lockdown. And six weeks later, we're still on lockdown. Flipping you bastards are going to level three. So, I'm a bit pissed.
And I'm handling all right, though. Family going all right in iso life?
Yeah, we're pretty fortunate, bro. We've got a pretty nice setup and pad and shit. So, we've got, you know, the pool and spa and big yard and all the rest of it. It's kind of like locked off compound, so the whanau is pretty good. And I got two baby daughters, a 1 year old and 2 year old, so they're just running around like crazy, and wifey's got her fam close, which is good. So we have a pretty lucky, man. We've got a good setup. So, and I've got my obviously a studio and stuff, so I can do all this shit kind of out of the way of everything, which is sweet.
Yeah, of course. And you've been flat out, which is why we got you here today. So to dive straight in, bro, networking. So for you, let's put in the shoes of plenty of the players who are online at the moment. It's quite tough, and I know it's quite tough. You find yourselves in situations where you probably should be leveraging off it. You've got business people around you who want to know you. We've talked in other workshops where you've got a finite time as a rugby player to utilise your profile, and whether that's really big, Richie McCaw, Dan Carter scale, or whether that's just small in a micro environment. But we, especially as Polynesians, sometimes battle to go and have those conversations. So to start off with, from your perspective, what is networking? What's good and what's bad networking?
It's an interesting one, right? So I guess I'll just quick bit of context for the crew as well in terms of the space, which I obviously understand of as a snowboard world. So I successfully transitioned out of sport into business. You know, we were talking about snowboarding before. I was ranked number one in New Zealand and got a silver medal at the world final. So I've, you know, traveled the world and I've been at that elite level in a pretty extreme sport. And on top of that as well, I also played competitive basketball for New Zealand and also soccer. So I've kind of done three sports at a national and international level, which it's been really cool. But the transition of business has been, it was quite seamless because all I did was just take the headspace of my skill set, which I knew I had in sport, and just applied it across. And then the tough reality in sport, and obviously I'm guessing we're all Chatham House, and this isn't, this is for the crew, which is fine, is the harsh reality is you are temporarily relevant, right? You are literally, you're hot right now, and in two years, you don't mean shit, or your ACL pops and you're whatever. And it was super, it was really tough for me actually when I first kicked off, because I was on international contracts and salaries. And I remember getting actually, just wait 1 second, I'm going to shut this fucking door. Oh, one sec. Close this. Sorry about that.
Yeah, carry on.
I got a new international salary contract, and when I looked through it, there was a new clause, and it was 11.3 of this new contract, and this was like, 10, 15 years ago, whatever. And it said if I was off the snow for more than 90 days, my retainer and salary would stop. And I was like, that's a new one. I was like, what's the deal here? And they're like, oh, well, if you're not going to be snowboarding, we can't pay you. I said, well, wait a second. You're expecting me to go 110%. And if I blow my ACL, hurt my back, do any of these other things, which are going to take my MCL or any of the shit, which would take me out for 90 days, I'm flipping done. And they're like, oh, no, it's just more about, just to make sure that you're in there. I was like, no, hold up. This is a flipping jet. And it was at that moment I realized that, unfortunately, as much as I was loyal and passionate, and I was 13 years with Adidas, which was amazing, and I'm burdened for 10 years, whatever. I realized that I was a dispensable cog in a corporate wheel. And the second I realized what the flipping game was, I was like, hold up, you cocksuckers are going to try to roll me as a little asset, which you can just roll out to your shit and play your billionaire club stuff. Well, how do I look out for myself? And then I started, but my whole mindset shifted. My mindset realized where I was like, okay, well, at this very moment, I have all the networks. Everyone wants to bro down with me. I've got all the access into any flipping room I want. And I've got all the resources to be able to open up any door to do anything. So it's like, all right, cool. So what I did is, I also, just for context for anyone on the call, I don't think I've met pretty much most of you, but you're obviously very quiet if you've all taken your video off, so I don't know what anyone looks like. So I'm like talking to a blank room, so stuff you could be flipping anyone here, I don't give a shit. Was I really realized that, like, I failed high school, I failed school C, couldn't get into university, no degrees, no nothing, flipping, like, I don't have shit, right? But I realized that I wanted while my personal cred was high, I wanted to flip and build a platform that could help grow and expand out so I could transition thing. And I worked out this transition number of, I was going from person to platform, and I wanted to build this platform of opportunity in commerce where it would hit a tipping point. Then I knew that I didn't need to, be 30 years old or whatever and throw my body off a flipping 100-foot cliff just to pay rent, right? And so I figured out what that number was, and my number in my head at the time was $250. I was like, if I get $250 a week, that means I can pay my rent, get my food, and I'm good. So that's $1,000 a month. So I knew I just had to build my platform. So mentally, I've always played chess. Like, chess has been my really big key thing for me of like, I fully was into chess. So I would always think about moves, right? Like, everyone was playing checkers of like, not taking the moment to turn it into a movement, and they would just do a transaction and piss off, and then they lose that leverage and credibility. And next thing they know, they wake up, no dollars in the bank, they don't have any more clout, no more cred, and they can't like leverage off anything. And then they're stuffed, right? This is what happens every time. And then what happens is then the washed up, never has beens try to come and make a play, but it's out of desperation. You can actually sense it. And I never wanted to be in a point of weakness, right? And I said time and time and time again with sports players. So I was just really clear about, okay, I'm going to transition from my personal to a platform. And I wanted to find out what my number was. And then I wanted to leverage all my different pieces. And in my head, I realized instead of being paid from one person to do one thing, which was, I was Adidas, Burden, West Beach, whatever, it's like, stuff that. When I go platform, I can get 30. And so within 100%, right? So within 18 months, I was getting checks from flipping 40 different businesses year round instead of two.
Yeah.
And then I'm like spread right out. So that thing, but so to kind of loop back around your question, that's just kind of the context, right? So I've sat in this exact spot on the road. My thing was, what's the number? How do you get that spot and then flip?
It's a scary time, right? It's scary. Like everybody right. is worried about that transition. We've talked about this in the last couple of weeks.
Mm. Really? Yeah, no, totally. And I think right now the harsh reality is, and I don't know how players' contracts are done, but I am kind of guessing if they don't play, they don't get paid. Is that kind of fair?
Yeah, well, it varies. But obviously, if a player isn't playing, it obviously puts the next contract at jeopardy. We have fairly good security across it at the moment, where you're paid over a retainer in most situations, and it's not per match. There might be bonus payments for some people online here, but generally, there's a bit of safety around that, which is a good thing. But where the scary part comes is from, you know, a contract maybe 2-3 years max, maybe a 1 year, and it's around, am I going to get another one, or is it time for me to start looking at the next part of my life?
Well, interesting on that, right? Because say if you look at the NFL, they get paid per game on the week, on the Sunday, the day after the game, 16 times a year. That's how it works.
Wow.
Get a check on the Sunday after the game.
Cutthroat.
Like savage shit, right? And then in golf, what's happening now is I was on a call yesterday with the PGA Tour Euro ship. They are looking to then keep the same thing but push the entire bit out and then overlap that next season so that the gap between it will be I'm imagining a couple of weeks instead of months, right? Because they don't want to lose that. But what's going to happen is that will get squeezed up, all that gets cut, and then the flow-on effect of that is all these brands and businesses that now can't leverage it, they can't sponsor those things, they're going to have less cash, they don't get the same viewership. So the trickle-down effect of sport not being played is already going to have a flow-on effect for this. So I'm imagining it's coming too. So I'm just trying to... It's not like basketball when a bunch of them are just on retainer and it's guaranteed cash regardless. But if the season doesn't play, they don't get paid.
How just quickly in 1 minute, how has the NFL ended up with that model? Is it a traditional thing that's gone through pay packet?
It's always been. Yeah, they get this is from if unless it's trend recently. That's what's been for forever. They get paid on a Sunday night after the game.
Oh, crazy.
For six of them, unless it's some of them will be at the guaranteed money, but most of it's all you know. Bonus incentives, blah, blah. So anyway, I don't know. So networking.
What do you do, bro? Like you're going into an environment, you're a young Māori guy who's coming from Christchurch. You're walking in there, there's all these big wigs, business people, and you're feeling, oh, is this really where I should be? I know I should go and talk to these people. What should the players do?
Do you know the honest answer here is, people are scared of white people in suits.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Like, that's the actual, like, that's the truth.
Yeah.
So, like, you got to understand, when I did my first board meeting, I was on the board at NZ Tech, and we're talking about the chief operating officer of the stock exchange, the managing director of Microsoft, the flipping CEO of IBM. It's just the biggest swinging tech dicks. And here's me rolling up, literally, $7 T-shirt, new era fitted, some fluoro Nikes, and I roll up, I'm like, what is this shit? And it was super intimidating, dude. Like, I remember sitting there, and it was just the flipping weird. I've never felt that before. Like, every room I go into, I'm the odd one out. So I've always kind of, for me, I guess we're rewind back to this from my headspace. So I've always felt tension regardless of my situation. So I grew up on a farm, and my father's from Ngātipuro, East Coast Gisborne, but I grew up on a farm in Dargaville, way up north, and I was the kind of Māori kid at Arapahoe Primary. I go to Fiji, and I grew up in Fiji till I was 9, and I was then, all of a sudden, I was the white kid surrounded by a bunch of, like, Indians and Fijians, right? Yeah. And so I've gone, I'm now the brown boy, now I'm the white boy. Then I come to flipping... to Christchurch, and my first year was in Pleasant Hill, which is this fancy little spot, and then I was the brown boy again, and then I go to Aranui, and then I was with my crew, which was dope. But then I get into snowboarding, and it's predominantly rich white sport. I'm the poor Māori kid on the flipping benefit from Aranui, so I've got this tension, and then now I come into the corporate world, I'm dealing with flipping billion-dollar telcos and shit, and all those gnarly power suits and stuff, and I'm here wearing a $7 T-shirt. So, like, this tension for me has been my entire life. So, but what I realize is it was I use that as ammunition to go and fight, because I'm like, okay, I'm just going to own the fact that I'm the odd one out here. So I'm going to front foot the shit, take away all the ammunition. And the probably Kuren, the, if anyone's listening or watch on here, is, you know, the movie 8 Mile,
yep,
right? And at the end of 8 Mile, how does Eminem win? How does he win? He wins because he just steamrolls himself first, says all the bad shit about him. He takes away all the ammunition from the other side. And then the other side can't say shit, so he wins because he's just owned it.
Yeah, got you.
And there was this thing around ownership of the ownership of the true you. And I realized, I was like, you know what? Stuff this shit. I'm just going to do me, right? So I roll up and I just literally talk to my talk, roll the way I roll, say how I say it, flip him. Because you can either try and like suit and boot it. And I'm not gonna front. I tried to do it my first year in Auckland, like trying to do the Ponsonby thing. I got some flip and this, some like chicken shirts and some like dark brown leather shoe shit, whatever. And I was just like, this is the weirdest shit ever. Then I'm sweating through it. And I was uncomfortable. I'm like, what the fuck? Stuff this. And so there was this thing about ownership of the true you. So then you don't feel uncomfortable. Because exactly the point before, everyone probably reacts, they don't feel comfortable with like rich white dudes in suits, right? Like that's kind of those rooms. And so you take that away, like own that spot where even if you try to look like them and dress like them, act like them, talk like them, you're never going to win. Like, you can't win. It's the game is stuffed because you haven't been in that world. But you need to understand that they want to bro down with you because you're the dude of the moment.
Yep.
And that leverage is really, 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 really powerful because it's, you know, the old saying was, you know, every athlete wants to be a rapper. Every rapper wants to be an athlete, right? But you know what they both want to be? They both want to be entrepreneurs. They both want to be in the business game. And every business dude wants to bro down because most business people were shit at sport. And they just wanted to have the flipping, the frother. So they've got these big brains, but they don't know what it's like to flipping. You know, have thousands of people cheering for them, again, high fives and flipping groupies at the after party and just get on the piss with the boys. Like, no, they don't know that shit. They want to.
It's such a
good point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so what you're saying there is, we're a little bit intimidated to walk over to that part of the room, but actually they're intimidated of you probably just as much, and they want to be your mate, and you shouldn't be afraid of it.
A hundy. Well, it's the ownership piece, right? They're there, so then flipping Keith can try and get his flipping overweight selfie to go show his boys at the flipping office to then act like their best mate, flipping to talk to Karen from accounts or some shit. Like, that's the truth, right? Like, it's a straight flex play. But you got to, this is what I'm saying, like, you got to understand the game. In everyone's world, what I've really noticed is, like, my network of, if you've seen any of my shit, is ridiculous, right? Like, it's flipping so stupidly stacked that I'm sitting, I'm like, how am I homies with these people? And I've realized I've cracked it, right? And what it is that they know with me that it's flat. I'm not a threat to them because I don't look like them, talk like them, act like them, roll like them. I'm not even in their flipping world.
Yep.
But intellectually, we're on it. We can have a, and this is the key, and I need nothing from them. Anyone in power always knows that anyone beneath them in hierarchy always wants something from them because they're playing the power game. When you just come through ninja shit on the side and you're already at that level and you need nothing from them, it's genuinely like the most honest, upfront, transparent, greatest relationships of all time. And you roll up and, you know, what would happen with me is I've kind of got this triangle in my head of like the threes, twos and ones. The threes are the young buck entrepreneurs, startup business crew, whatever. And they're like, yo man, aspirational. Like, dude, I want to be like this guy. Shit, yeah, that guy's the man. The ones are the top of the pyramid, the CEOs, the execs. So the threes are inspired to like roll with me. The ones get with me because they're like, yeah, man, we're on the same page. But the twos in the middle management, Karen from accounts, flipping Keith and marketing, all that shit, they hate me or they're totally confused or intimidated by me. And it's because when I walk in, I bro shake, what's up to the CEO, high five, handshake, how's shit, blah, 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 whatever. They're trying to play the game to get up with hierarchy, but they can't because they're playing the wrong game. And what happens is the twos have them resentment because I'm authentically doing me. I've got to be a relationship to the above them with where they want to go. And it makes them question if they're doing the strategy wrong with how they're playing the game.
Yeah, got you.
And it is real shit. And I've seen it play out time and time and time again. So this whole thing that we're talking about networking. This isn't networking. This is like life chess. And you just need to understand what game is actually being played. And that's the hook, which I don't think many people talk about because they're like, oh, you know, go up and say, what's up? How are you? Oh, I'm good. Did you like that game? Yeah, it was mean. cool. Like copy paste shit is like blah, right? Like there's no.
You can afford to be yourself, and it's undervalued. Go in there and be who you are right now, and they will.
Undy. Because this is what happens, right? If you try and copy paste their world, you can't do it, and they can tell that you're uncomfortable because you're acting in front that's not you.
Yeah.
If you own you, it's this thing of like, you'll either fit in or you'll fit out.
Yep.
I would rather have people mess with me and don't get me wrong, like I'm extremely polarizing. People want to mess with me in high fives and handshakes and hugs and selfies and shit, or they want to fucking kick me in the face. This is the best bit about it, because I've M&M'd it and I've 8-miled it and I've already like, I've told you this is how I roll, this is what I act, this is what I'm about. What are you going to say? Oh, he's loud. All right, no shit. I covered that. Next. Can we have an actual conversation? Like you've taken all that stuff away from them. So it's actually really, really, it's like so vital that because when you do that, what happens is people are attracted to the true you, and you net, you always win out, because if they don't like you, they're not going to like you anyway. I'm not saying don't be respectful and don't play the game a bit smarter, but this whole thing's a flipping, the whole thing's a hustle. People just don't know what the flipping game is. The game is you are temporarily relevant. You do a thing which makes other people want to be a part of. That's it, right? The second you're out of that, unless you build legacy, no one gives a shit about you. And it's funny, I've had an argument with someone about this. I said, who's more valuable, Dan Carter or Richard McCaw? And it was about the commerce of their brand and their career. And I was like, bro, you don't get it, man. Dan, and if you're friends with Dan or thing like, I don't care, I'll say it. Dan played the game of transactions to try and commercialize the opportunity of the moment. I get that. He was brand Dan, DC, boom, 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 got it, cool. Richie played the game of legacy, right? Where he was like, today, in 5 years' time, Dan and Richie are no longer playing. Yep. The legacy of Dan compared to Richie over time, who wins in 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years? GOAT status for legacy trumps currency, because in 30 years' time, Richie could walk into a flipping room and be like, oh, hey, I'd like to buy the house, and be like, flipping, take the house. You're Richie, go for gold, right? Opposed to Dan, who played transactions. And it was just really interesting, because I think there was two very specific strategies. Richie was going for legacy and Dan was going for transactions and currency. And as time goes on, the greatness of the brand of Richie, even though he tried to do nothing with his personal brand or any of this other commercial shit, is going up. And Dan, who did all that other stuff, unfortunately over time, it will decrease because he's not as temporarily relevant.
Yeah.
So yeah. So once again, this is chess, right? Then you think about, okay, do I want to do the short-term pop transaction, do a whole bunch of different things, or how do I play the legacy game where then I have more depth and substance over time? So that's another sort of strategic piece.
Yeah, nice.
So does that kind of make sense?
It does.
I've never played rugby. I've just seen it from the outside. And I just know that when I look at brand, I'm like, no. Once there's strategies behind this, and I know who's going to win the long game. And I don't think it's Dan commercially. I actually think it's Richie and legacy. And I think that's potentially what opens more door. Because the door for Richie, for anyone in New Zealand, will be open for the rest of his life.
Yep.
I don't know if it'll be the same commercially for Dan.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the same level. Maybe every open door would still open, but I don't know if it'll be as, you see what I'm saying? Like, is it different?
And I think everybody online will be hearing what we're talking about here is that it's about being yourself and making sure you have a long game. And not really, not trying to do it. What about if we were to bring it down to a more micro level, and a player's in a room, and they do identify that they really want to build a relationship with those guys in the corner because they know they're in property, and they're in the space, and they're thinking, I want to learn a bit, or I might want to buy or something. They don't quite have the conversational skills that you've got, or that you've actually built up over time. But we're here right now. Do you have any practical things of, we've already heard, be yourself, own it, do that. That's your word of advice. Is there anything else when you go up for that first engagement in terms of what you how you play that moment?
So has everyone, obviously no one's camera's on, but has anyone here done digging into how Magic Johnson built his network for life after basketball?
No, but tell me.
The most ninja dopest shit of all time, right? So Magic Johnson knew that he wanted to get into business after. every single person that was buying front row tickets would always get access to the locker rooms with the players. And so what Magic realized is he said, wait a second, I'm temporarily relevant, but I have access to the front row seats of everyone in business. And so what he would do is he would go, he would spend all his time trying to bro down with all the business hitters and saying, look, and he would front from below, look, you know, after basketball's finished, I want to get into business. I'd love to be able to pick your brains to talk about some business stuff because I know absolutely nothing.
Yep.
And I'd love to bro down. Every single person was like, yes, I'll take you for dinner. Yes, we can hang out. Yes, let's go for drinks. Because then they get public flex to be seen with the dude who is relevant at the time. But then what happens is he fronts foot, so he knows nothing about business. He wants to be in the flipping room with him. Then the business guy, business girl, has this flex of like, I know something you don't, and I get to help you, and it's power to the other side, right? So he M&M's it and goes, look, I know nothing about business, but I know I want to get into it. Please tell me how this shit works, yada, yada, yada. So the dynamics of that engagement, then all of a sudden you've got these business people looking like they're helping mentor the star for life after. So they get the flex, right? But then what happened is he was such a good bastard to so many people. Years later, it's in his book. He then went to... he was opening this big mega sport complex and he needed like $190 million or something, or $90 million or whatever the number was. It was a stupid amount of money that he did. And Magic Johnson always was really good to everyone that was close, right? He was always a good human. 15 years earlier, he was in a locker room. Someone came up and there was a little kid. And then he was like, man, here you go. Here's some shoes. Signed him, the man, boom. 15 years later, the dude he walks in the room to doesn't realize that that's the dad of that kid who made his entire life. He then goes in, before he even starts, the guy just goes, you won't remember this, but 15 years ago, you went out of your way and you made my son's day. The way you treated people then, I can tell that I know you're going to be good for the money. Don't even worry about the cash. Here you go. Write the check. Done.
Wow.
So at one moment, he did 15 years ago, whatever it was, drop them a 100 mil check to go and build the AMC centers and all the different Starbucks.
Hey, cool.
But there's something in that, right? Because, you know, the moments of these small little interactions which you have, which you think are nothing, you have no flipping idea what it's like when you're that 9-year-old kid. You know, I remember when I was 9 years old and the Canterbury Rams were playing at Cal Stadium and I would go and watch, you know, Jason and stuff play. And then at the end of it, I would go and steal the masking tape up, wrap it all up into a ball and try and fake shoot top hoops or whatever. And I'd try to, and then I knew that they all worked at Smith City. So I'd go down there because it was Smith City Rams. But like, that's a small moment for me. No one would give a shit. But for me, that meant a lot, right? And I think everyone on this call is probably potentially naive to the moments that they have the opportunity to create every single day for all those people that can have way, way, way more leverage down the line.
I think what you're doing here is you're probably validating, because I know some of the names online and I know that Pacific Islanders, Māori, and that probably do that better than some of the other players that I've seen around the world, because it comes natural to us. You're accommodating to be nice, and you're probably validating that that's a great tactic and to keep going and to keep doing that, because it actually reaps rewards later on in your career or post-career by putting in the sowing the seed now. And I think that's what you're saying here.
Yeah, it's if you are temporarily relevant, do you want to play transactions or relationships? Do you want to go short game with checkers or long game with chess? That's it.
Yeah, beautiful. What I'm hearing is the ability to be vulnerable and be open and honest and say, I want to learn more about this. And what that does is then shift the power feeling to those people, which they love, because that's what they do every day. And then you start building the relationship. They open up the doors to you and be amazing.
Exactly. It empowers them. They get flex, but it actually makes the ninja move for you, because there is nothing worse than, I mean, I'm sure every player on here has had this conversation. Flip it the other way. Someone who's in business comes to bro down with you and they try and talk rugby chat. I don't even know what the positions are and all this other shit. And they try to say some dumb shit. It'd be like someone coming up to me trying to talk about, you know, the 2-degree bevel edges on the side of a snowboard, and I know that they don't snowboard. I'm like, you don't even know the words you are saying. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When that happens to you, that's what it sounds like when you try to talk like them to them.
Yep.
And it's the most painful shit ever. So like, you can't fake it. That's why you don't front foot it. Be like, amazing. Thanks so much. This is awesome. And you need to have a one-liner. I would say that, right? You definitely need that one-liner of how to,
smart,
you know, their first part to make them lean in a bit more, you know, and even as simple as, oh, you know, like what type of, a big one for me is, you know, the question I hate the most is, what do you do? I absolutely hate that. And why I hate it is because it mentally puts the hierarchy of where someone thinks you fit in the ecosystem of the power Rolodex with what they can get from you.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate it. Because when you go out, right, and it's so typical. It's like, oh, what's your name? John. Oh, what do you do? Oh, I work at Colenso. Oh, cool. What do you do there? Oh, I'm an account manager. It's like, all right, cool. You're not C-suite. You know what I mean? Like, all right, cool. So they've already done it. My ninja shit is, it worked for years. It doesn't work now because most crew know how I roll. But I'd just be like, oh, yeah, no, yeah, a few bits and pieces, you know, blah, blah. I didn't want anyone to know anything.
Yeah.
About me, like flipping nothing, because I want people to at keynotes think I'm the flipping security guard, because then what would happen is people would treat you, you'd get to see how people actually work when they don't know what they can get from you. But it's very difficult when you're a known face because people know what you do. You know, so the way to do it is don't say, oh, where do you work? What do you do? Be like, you know, what keeps you busy? You know, oh, and then if you're right now, I'd be like, you know, that's always one that I'll say is, you know, what keeps you busy? Like, oh yeah, what are you working on at the moment? That's you know, keeping you busy, whatever it is. You just like get them it's just questions, right? At the end of the day, there's gotta be things that you're into. And if you, whatever that thing is that you're passionate about it, you know, and if it's uncomfortable, you know, I know it sounds weird, but I'm super passionate about, you know, I've been yoga at the moment. I'd be like, oh, whoa, it's a bit weird, whatever, but that's what you're into, you know, own it. Yeah. But yeah, don't try to talk to business people about business if you don't know business.
Yeah.
It's like me trying to talk to you about Scrum shit, and I don't even watch. I don't know what that means. Like, you know, like it's gonna make me look like a muppet. So don't do that.
I think it's real valuable what you're saying there. Be transparent, be genuine. Do that. What about, you just touched on there about being uncomfortable. What about overcoming fear? So it's all very well, if we don't have that skill first up, like there must be some situations, you're getting pretty good at it now, owning the room, but there'll be some there where just inside you is a little bit of butterflies to have that first chat, and you're like, okay, John Key, what's up? But you know, he's all right sort of bloke. There's sometimes where you have to overcome that first bit of fear to have a conversation with someone so you can then ask that dumb question and get the ball rolling. Any practical tips about that? Any pump ups? Is it like a changing rooms where you should bang your head against the wall, put some liniment on, get pumped, and then go and do it?
Nah, see I've got a different mindset, because people forget that, or maybe people that don't mess with me from where I was from, but like I would almost die every day snowboarding, right? Like I'd be going off big cliffs and hitting rocks and shit and trees at 60k an hour and coming up short and flipping 50, 70, 80 foot jumps. So every day for me, my average day of risk was so much higher. And so what would happen is that's real risk, right? That's real risk. Like if I take one turn less, I'll come up short, I hit the knuckle, I blow my ACL, I'm flipping gone burgers, right? So then when you transition to business world is, what, I'm at sea level, not 2,000 meters. I don't have a backpack on. I'm in a T-shirt, and I'm sitting down having coffee with someone but at the end of the day, I'm going to go home without my neck in a brace or an ACL torn.
Yep.
So what is real risk and fear? And this is the thing you got to understand. Like, what would I be more scared of? Flipping asking Keith from accounts some shit about business, or having a 120-keg dude tackle me in the ribs and break my flipping back? Like stuff that, so I think the question to ask yourself is, what are you actually afraid of? And is it real risk? Like there's a perception of risk, but it's not real risk. Real risk is I come up short, I bust my ankle, I'm in a cast, that hurts. You know, risk for this is, what's up, Keith? I know nothing about business. I'd like to know some more. Can we hang out? He says, no. Right.
No, it's internal. Okay. It's all internal. You're developing yourself. You're undervaluing the position you're in. And I think we've talked about it the last week or so. Rugby players don't realize in terms of the risks that we take, let alone on the field, but, you know, living contract to contract, 2 years to 1 year, you know, there's people out there freaking out now because their lifelong job is in jeopardy. But
yep.
These guys online have rolled with this way. It's only one man's opinion whether you're going to get another contract each year. Like, we know this space. To move on slightly, bro, like let's talk about that other world out there that we're all sort of starting to dabble with. Guys spend time on social media, Instagram, TikTok, all that sort of stuff. But we know that LinkedIn is this holy grail where if we want to start networking and working into other parts of our lives that we should be on, and it's one something we should be doing. Now, you run some really good resources around basics. What can we start with? What can the rugby player start with? Some top line stuff that we can start thinking about to have a good LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, super easy, right? The simplest one is LinkedIn is essentially a Facebook stream for business, right? And it's simplest thing. It is a TikTok stream for business shit. The majority of people, every single CEO is on it. Every single decision maker is on it. But what you'll actually find is all the actual heavy hitters, the ones, they don't really, they lurk, they watch and they look. That's if you're playing the stream. But in a nutshell, you should, everyone should have a profile. Everyone should have it, a good image that says what it is. But the ninja shit with it is you can literally, I don't know if I can, I should be able to share my screen. Maybe I can do that. A host disabled attendee screen sharing. Oh, you might need to enable me to do it. It won't enable me to share my screen.
Yeah, hold up. I'll do that. Carry on. No worries.
Yeah, I mean, if there was one thing I'd do, or two things, it would be set up a profile, get it all polished with where you've played and what you do, show your interests and passions that are outside of sport, and then I would actually have a crafted, I would have one crafted templated message which I could send people, that if you wanted to potentially connect up with them, if you were into, you know, plumbing or whatever your thing is, have something crafted of like, what's a one message that you could send that would act as a bridge into the world that you want to get into potentially after, or even just to expand the network out. Screen share. No, I still can't screen share it. That would be one of them. Cause there's, I mean, look, you will stop playing this sport within 15 years. Let's say some will be 5 months, some will be 5 years, some will be 10 years. Let's say 15 years. Cool. Then I wake up and let's say I'm 50 and I stop playing. Yeah, probably less than that, but you know what I'm saying? I've then got another, 30, 50 years to do businessy shit. So you've got a whole other life after this, and you know it's going to be in business or the real world or whatever it is. You need to be able to get set up to be able to do it. And most people don't. So, you know, number one would be, okay, here we go. I think I can do it now. Google Chrome. Okay, hopefully.
Yep, beautiful.
There is? Okay, cool. So LinkedIn.
Everyone see it?
Hopefully.
Should
hopefully.
Yep.
Cool. So it's just LinkedIn, right? A simple one you can do is when you set up, most people don't do this, but see right at the top, it's got how it's like my name.
Yep.
And when you go to edit, all you need to do to get your own name, which is actually a really good thing, because if you don't get your name, it'll be this like big, crazy, long like thing, which sucks, is you just need to click edit public profile on the top right, and then you get to change your URL here, so you can actually change your name. Just like it takes 1 minute, right? But instantly, it's awesome. A pretty simple. Yeah, like it's a super simple thing that most people don't know about. It's like, well, if you're going to do it, because then what happens is you can actually utilize that as, you know, the link that you could put into your email signature or whatever else as well, you know, and it's like the personal branding side. So this is, I guess, what public can see from my side.
Yep.
And the key bit, just super simply here, is I wanted a background that could just be, my whole thing is just, I only wear black. So it's just, you know, I've got 20 of the same t-shirts, clear background. Simple, so you can see the face, not heaps of crazy shit. Black, one liner, you know. And the cool flex that every single person here has is they're flipping professional rugby player, right? Like, how dope's that? Like, if you're in New Zealand, that's like, you know, not, it's Keith's dream. So it's like, chuck that shit in there, and then, but passionate about whatever. But because I just don't really care as well. I just think it's kind of funny. So, like, instead of doing watch, like, kia ora, I'm Rebet, a bald, overweight digital cheerleader for New Zealand business. See, I just don't care. But anyway, so you go down and then, you know, you get the experiences. And the cool thing here, right, is you can put each different like club or whatever you've played to any, but make sure you get the logos of them, so it actually kind of
yep.
works. And then a bit of context behind each sort of one as well, which is pretty good, right? So here you go. People don't know what the High Techs Awards are, just to give context. Because if you've done certain stuff before as well, so chuck it all in there, yada yada yada. It's like an online CV, right?
Yeah.
Boom boom boom. The volunteer piece is actually quite massive, so you should definitely do this as well, because almost every single crew always wants to give back somewhere. There's a huge part culturally around give back. This is a great part to be able to flex here. And then most of the time as well, is they could usually be on potential boards or volunteers or some advisory groups that, that help back this. So definitely put that in here as well. Publications, projects, blah, 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 groups, recommendations. At a simple point, it just needs to be, you know, good profile photo, simple background image. I'm saying that's sort of personal to you. You know, you can be, you know, it could be a couple of things of, you know, started playing in Auckland, got signed to flipping so-and-so, currently living in wherever, doing this, passionate about boom, 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 boom. That's all you need. That's literally near at some point.
And what about the date?
Then what happens is, let's say if you're on here.
I was just say, what about engaging with other people, sharing posts, commenting on posts? Like, how important is that?
Yeah, it depends. Is it good to do? Yes. Do you need to do it? It depends on what you want out of it. Just doing stuff for doing its sake is stupid, right? Like I wouldn't, if you don't need to. Or why are you doing it? You know, like, ask the question. Like, if you're doing this, I am going to have a profile and start some engagement to help get me a job after. Perfect. That's one thing. But if it's just to do it for do it's sake, I think it's stupid. You don't need to. There's a couple of things which are really interesting, right? Like, people don't realize you could just click here, CEO, search for a CEO. And I'm going to search for all my connections that live in New Zealand, apply, done. So I'm connected to about 1,800 people in New Zealand who are CEOs or have CEO in their thing, just like that, right? Like, how crazy is that? And the reality is, if you don't know them, then you can still search for the CEO of whatever in New Zealand. And then if I don't, let's find someone that I'm not connected with, right? So I'd go CEO connections, second connection means you're not directly connected to them.
Yep.
Or third, there you go, boom, apply. And I want to make sure they only live in New Zealand, because let's say I'm living in Auckland and I only want to live in Auckland. So click apply. Then all of a sudden, this has given me a list of 11,000 people who I'm not currently connected to, but I know someone that is connected to them that live in Auckland, and there's 11,000. Wow. Like, let's say then I want to get to this guy. Then, like, it's just like, what a simple, easy way to find the actual decision maker at any business, at any organization. And let's say if I want to get to Chris, who's a CEO at Group M, don't know what that is, but I know Andrea. I'm like, hey, Andrea, can you give me a message? Boom, message. Hey, I'm trying to connect with Chris to talk about, you know, a potential role at Group M, whatever it is.
Yep.
And then you can just click message, boom, done.
Awesome.
Message pops up, boom. So one thing I will, so it's a quick little hack that I use anyway, is I've got certain messages pre-written and templated because my time is super kind of stuffed. So let's say if I wanted to interview Andrea, right? I've already got a custom code on my thing. When I put WCNZLI, does that.
Wow.
And what that stands for in my head is world-class New Zealanders LinkedIn message. And then it's an interview request, and I've already templated it and it's already done, right? If I wanted to, if she's pissing me off and I'm like, go away, not interested, piss off. If I'm broing down with someone I haven't yarned to in a while, I'm like, yo, yo, yo.
Nice.
And so I do that every day with a bunch of crews, but everything is all templated and scripted, right? So then I had one, which was, I wonder if it still works. I think I might have deleted it. But basically, people always ask me, there you go. see, I still got it. So if I go dollars, that's it. Here you go. Public safety alert on my phone. The stay-at-home order extends to May 31st. Awesome. Cool. So my day just got shitter. Cheers, team. That was fun. Fuck. All right.
31st.
All right. So, what's funny, right? So people always ask me to do free shit.
Yep.
or just do shit. It's just like, piss off. And so I know what I do. So I put $? In my head, it's like, how much are you going to pay me? And then it says, thanks for doing it. What type of remuneration are you thinking it is appropriate in exchange for my time in this?
Boom, done, send. Yeah,
boom, done, send. No, there you go. Send. No is another one I've got. This is kind of like, you know, I'd like you to be on the board or whatever. And it's just like, you know, boom. So like, it's a game, right? Like this, all this shit is all, you know.
So practically anyway, wise, you set up those as shortcuts on your text.
Yeah. So if you're on your phone, and yep. So this is what I'm saying, these messages, right? Like, let's say if you did want to bro down with Chris, yep. And you wanted to get into it, but say, I know I'm going to get into plumbing or whatever it is after it, your message that goes to him could be literally, so I do a crazy request for example, that's how I wanted to get international crew onto it. And then then it would be a templated thing, and it's around, you know, we haven't connected before. I know we're not mutually, we haven't met before professionally, but we've got a few mutual connections. Currently doing this, interested to talk about that. If it's of value, I'd love to have a chat. But like, craft up one thing, create a shortcut for it. And then when you do this, it can just be literally as simple as like, you know, so mine would be Crazy Chris, WCNZLA, boom, done, send. Took me 2 seconds, and instantly that's, you know, potentially an engagement for whatever it is.
And that's just through setting up shortcuts on your iPhone or something?
Yeah, so if you're on your phone, you just go into settings, general, keyboard, and then text shortcuts. It's text shortcuts. And then all you need to do is craft it that way. But in my head, I'd always just think of those different bits and pieces.
Yeah, nice. Good heck.
So while we're on here, any other stuff you want me to kind of talk through?
I reckon that's gold. Any questions coming through, Galen? I'm not sure if any of the crew, you guys, you better jump on with questions pretty quick because we don't get this guy very often. As you can see, it's some great questions here.
Q&A, I'm open.
Do you use your culture to an advantage, Māori Pacifica? I think you might have talked about this a little bit earlier. In different rooms, do you use it as an advantage?
I wouldn't say advantage. I see things flat where every room I've walked into, I've always been the odd one out. So culture was just another part of it. Young was been another part of it. Māori was being a part of it. Street was being a part of it. You know, my attire was being a part of it. So it's never, I've never felt, because it's one piece of me. Right. But if you look at the macro trend of how culture is perceived in the world, what was definitely perceived as a liability for many is now becoming clear at the forefront of New Zealand to the world. Right. In New Zealand, put it with the tohu thing, the rise of Te Reo Māori Week, Māori Language Week, all these other things. It's culture is getting cool for the masses, so it's a great time to leverage it.
And it's a skill set that the people in the other room don't have, and they can't have, and they're not going to have those language skills, and they're not going to have that cultural understanding. You've got it.
Totally. I did this kind of this power move retreat at the end of last year, which were, you know, I invited like 100. Of my inner circle Chatham House rules type shit. And it was a big majority was Pākehā, but there was a few of the crew in there. Right. And what happened is on day one, session one, bunch of the crews, like the Māori and Pacific crew, all kind of got on a similar table. And within like 20 minutes, just the chipper and banter started. And then it just changed the vibe of the whole room. And it was just like mega, right? You can't replicate that.
But, yes.
I know there's a bunch of crew here, and I see, you know, a few people got their videos on. I'll just open it up for Q&A from here. We can talk about whatever.
Yeah, bro. No, nice. We've seen one come. Jordan's a good question. He's obviously everyone's loving those templates. Then it's about what you should say in there to reach out to people of interest on LinkedIn, and you're looking for opportunities. Is there anything that you think in that first? Because touch points are pretty simple. Busy people like yourself, you're going to read it. What does it say in the subject? What should you say in the message?
Reverse engineer the action of what you want out of it. And are you trying to build a relationship, or are you trying to go for a transaction? So you're playing chess or checkers with the reach out. You know, like I've got people that we've been connected with, but on the first date, I don't go into flipping try and lock in a 3-hour sit down lunch session, right? I want them to know I exist consistently over time. And a big one that I actually did do was I've waited up to 3 or 4 years to be in the room with the right person, because I never wanted it to be out of charity. And even though I've knew people who can get to them, they're like, oh, I've got to introduce you when so-and-so, it'll be sweet. It's like, no. If I'm 30 minutes in that guy's time slot, I'm charity. I want him to know who I am before I flip and walk in the room. So then he's not there for charity. He's there for real shit. And I'll wait 3 years for it. So,
but don't try and close on the first date. Just go.
Long game, guys. Long game. Build the relationships and the networks now, you know? So yeah.
Have you ever made
it? Can they ask video questions? How does it work?
So, bro, can you see the chat? There's some questions coming through. I can see. I can just pass them on. But have you ever made any mistakes on, say, LinkedIn or social media like that you wish you probably could do a different way?
Not because I back it.
Awesome. Yeah.
And if it turns to shit, I'll own it. And if I front foot it, then what are they going to say, right?
Yeah, nice. Hey, good question there. Books or podcasts that you'd recommend to players who are looking to build their personal brand? Because we've got some pretty good people who are doing some PD for themselves. What do you recommend?
I don't subscribe to anyone. Yeah, I don't really consume much other people's stuff, actually. I'm just kind of my own buzz. Like, literally, I create my own shit. I do my own thing. And it's quite weird, but I don't subscribe to anyone, but I talk to everyone, if that makes sense. Like, I have the one-on-ones across a bunch of different verticals, chats, calls, random FaceTimes, group chats, emails, you know, like I'm in communication with a lot of people in a lot of different worlds the entire time. That's how I probably get it out. But what I would say is find out where your weak spot is, and get awareness around it, but don't try and own it, because, you know, like, I'd rather double down on my strengths than try and spend all my time trying to do something I'm shit at.
Yep. So you're growing your skill set through experience, through trying and through doing it.
Yeah. Like, I think net, right? If I'm really good at talking shit, my life could be a lot better if I 10x down and just quadruple down on talking shit good, instead of trying to get better at spreadsheets, right? There are people that are good at spreadsheets. So, you know, when you play rugby, you are good at a position, but you could potentially be the kicker and you might get 1 out of 10, but that's not where you're the best at. So why would you practice that in practice?
Yeah, nice.
It's not to say that you don't be aware of it, but I think people are very potentially naive to actually where their biggest asset could potentially be, right?
Yeah, for sure. Any critical steps for players, like, you think, and it's relationship wise, if someone was going to give you a top three and you're like, players, like, I need to start building my personal brand because I want to be somebody after rugby as well. Like, top three things, what would you say?
Ask why you're doing it specifically and what you want the outcome to be. 95% of people just make noise to make noise with no strategy, not realizing where it's going or what it's doing. And it becomes irrelevant and pointless and stupid, because they start taking up their time and bandwidth doing stuff that doesn't matter because they don't know what they're doing it for. But if you're a player and you know that you want to get into plumbing, I'm just going back to plumbing, for example, then I would be building a network of finding to see what businesses exist in that space, who are the leaders within that space, randomly reaching out. Like, if I wanted to get into a specific thing, I'd randomly reach out to them and say, hey, I know it's kind of a random one here. Thought of, you know, chuck some free tickets to the game and VIP, come meet the team and stuff afterwards. Love to be able to host you, bit of a random whatever. You know, like, even just that, be like, what? Build relationships, like genuine relationships. Yeah, so nice. Always ask why you're doing it first. Yep. Don't just get busy for busy's sake. It's just fucking pointless.
Yeah, and that probably relates to one of the questions that came in around just having that one shot to try and interact with somebody. So, yes, we want to try and learn to play the long game, build relationships. But when it's just transactional, when you have that one opportunity to have a crack at someone, I guess what I'm hearing you saying is just be open and honest and go for it.
Yeah, but you need – so there's certain times where you get one shot to make that impression but also plant the seed. If it's, hey, what's up, nice to meet you, how's it going, it's very forgettable, because that's what everyone does, right? Like, what's a – point of difference of something that plants a seed of remembrance for others, you need to work on that 100%, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a one-liner that kind of catches them a little bit off guard where they're like, whoa, you know, like I've been in situations like that where I've waited ages and I've thought about the, what that exact thing would be to say to then get them. Like I was a very famous politician. I didn't know that person, but I know someone who knows them. And I crafted my one-liner super well. So when I rolled up, it was boom. And then within 5 seconds, that relationship changed because the way I'd done that one thing, because it changed the relationship because it elevated the conversation. So each player, I would think about how do you do that? Because what are you doing it for? You're doing it for a job. You're doing it for a relationship. You're doing it trying to, because if you try and play the game of networking, you never win because it's all fake and there's no depth, right? How do you create depth organically and naturally? That's where probably.
So what you've hinted at there a little bit is about preparation. If you know you're going to have 1 moment, like prepare. Yep. No, if it's a marketing group over there and you think you might want to have a career in marketing and you're in aftermatch function and you're just cooling down after the game, you've got your one shot, you should have prepared for that moment.
Yeah, well, just, you know, how I imagine it plays out is everyone's going to have something that they're either thinking about or whatever. You know, it could be as simple as rolling up, be like, hey, what's up? You know, enjoy the game. Yeah, cool. Sweet. Oh, you know, what keeps you boys busy? Oh, sweet. We're in insurance. Oh, man. And then, you know, oh, I don't know much about that. But, you know, I've been super thinking about, you know, one of the things I've been into is dot, dot, dot. If anything ever pops up, you love over chat, be cool. You know, like open that door a little bit, you know, feel free to reach out. I'm easy to track down. Like just one little thing where it opens the door for them to engage back with you.
So that's something really specific. So I'm thinking you're the rugby guy. You walk into the changing room, an aftermatch function. They're a marketing crew. So rather than walking up and saying, hey, what do you do? I mean, you actually probably know. You walk in and you say something like, so that competition they had at halftime for Mitre 10, do you really reckon that Mitre 10 got return on investment for that? Or what do you think? And then boom, does that change the conversation?
Yeah, I'd frame it a little bit differently where be like, oh, you're with the Mitre 10 crew. Yeah, rad. Yeah, who did the marketing stuff at halftime? It was pretty cool. He's like, yeah, I've been real sort of passionate about it. Like, how do you think that'll work? Like, how did, and then you should be front foot the M&M 8 Mile thing. Be like, I don't know shit about marketing, but it kind of looks like it's a pretty cool activation. Like, how does that all work? And then all of a sudden they get the flex in, right?
Yep.
Like we're at this, it was quite funny. We were at the ASB Classic and doing all the stuff there. And I know nothing about tennis and we were doing all the media shit and Venus was there. And we ended up talking for half an hour and everyone else was trying to get to him. We were just broing out talking about football, this and that, because they own 5% of the Dolphins. All the rest of it got to the end and like, oh my gosh, what do you guys talk about? And I was talking with Venus Williams for half an hour and I thought it was Serena. And I was like, oh yeah, it's cool to see Serena. And he's like, that was, I was like, yeah, she had frizzy hair and shit. It's like, no, that's, Serena's like, oh, okay. And like, so I'm like, but she was so into our chat just about everything else. And I was literally calling her Serena. She thought it was the funniest shit ever. but the point was we were genuinely just like having a banter about all the shit that she was into. And we're talking about football and quarterbacks and all this other stuff, right? Because think about it, for her in that spot, the last thing she wants to talk about is like, how do you do the good forehand?
Yeah.
Cool. It's like, piss off, you know, like, fuck. Yeah. So yeah, the thing would be like, how do you craft up what you're into that leads that conversation into it? Because then like, how cool would it be for instantly in that moment? Like, yeah, I'd love to get into it. Yeah, man. Like if there's any time I could, you know, have it come learn some more about it, I'd love to, you know, like just open that door and be like, super easy to track down. Just get me on LinkedIn. Right.
Yeah.
And then they know your name. They know you're on LinkedIn. They're on LinkedIn. And then what you can do is you can see who views your profile.
They pop up. Someone's viewed your profile. Yep.
Yep. So can you bring up my thing? Or can I just quickly share this again? How do I do this shit? Share screen. Boom, 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 boom. If I do that. Okay, is that right there? Can you see that?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So guys, who's viewed your profile? And then what happens? There you go. Boom, boom, boom. This is interesting. So you get notifications of who works in. So I can tell if shit pops, what businesses I'm getting talkability. So at the moment, Spark's messing with me. So yep. These are all the different crew at Spark. So 74 people from Spark are all trying to figure out. And the only way this happens is people within Spark are talking about me and then I can see what part of the business is. So if I can see,
I've had a department meeting and they've been sitting there going, "Oh, I think we should reach out to this guy." They've all gone back to their little kiosks, Keith and accounts, and gone, "Okay," and looked you up.
Yep. But we know what's happened is because I was with Jolie, their CEO, and got seen publicly. And so everyone that's a second, so I can see second. So I know basically half the crew haven't met me. The first connections have talked about me to the seconds. The seconds have then Googled me. So it's got something to do with security or agile shit, whatever. But I can see that this is chess. I can then work out that they're trying to figure out why I'm broken down with their CEO, basically, right?
Gotcha. Awesome.
But what you can do is if you go back and they'll have interesting views. Here we go. So Nick Ashwood, so he's a CEO at...
Marvin's had a look. He's online right now, so he's done his homework.
Southern Cross. Yep, that's right. There you go. Boom, boom, boom. And then perfect. So I can see Marvin, we're not connected, but he scoped me out. Then I can go into his and see there. And you get notifications, right? So it's great. So you know that that's what they're doing. So you can... This whole thing is... It's a flipping hustle, mate. Just, it's all there for you. Just knock your shit out and figure it out. It's easy.
Awesome, bro. Hey, just to recap a little bit, this is what I've heard. We're talking about owning yourself, ownership of the true you, and you're only temporarily relevant. So choose your moments, be honest, go into the rooms and just be yourself. That's what works the best. Don't try and fake it. Just be genuine. When it comes to LinkedIn, like you showed us some really good things, just simple tips around the URL, the profile pic, making sure that you're putting your history and experience on there with profile pics, and then showing us how to reaching out, like even first and second and third connections. I think people on there have probably learned heaps. We've got to wind down because you're a busy man and you have a valuable time. So I just want to thank you on behalf of all of us, everybody online. Any final words from you?
Yeah, I'd be really keen to get into this rugby stuff. Tell me more about it. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. No, it's just, you know, I think that maybe I'm just trying to think of like how to compress value here. What if you open up a framework for a bunch of questions which haven't been answered and then give that to me in a format that I can then do that with? I'm more than happy to be able to help. So, yeah, just there's not many crew that role like me in this space, and so there's probably not chances to get, you know, intel like this. So for me, this is very important because I was one of those crews that didn't, they had to, you know, evolve into that next world. I didn't know flipping how to do it, but I've just knocked the flipping door down, just done my own shit, you know. So I'm more than happy to help, especially within sport. It's I'm passionate about it.
Bro, it's been brilliant. The people online who have made the effort, like they just picked up so much gold here, and it's really valuable. And people who have missed out on it will be envious. Thank you for your time, bro. And you're a busy man, you're locked down to the 31st, so you've got plenty of time to
stuff all you got. Hey, maybe let's do this because I want to keep some accountability. Everyone does this. Everyone knock out all their LinkedIn profiles and then let's do another one of these in a couple of weeks, and then send me the list of all, send me the questions and all that, and I want to see everyone up with their one-liners. Make it accountable.
Awesome.
And then they can't come back on for the next session if they haven't done it. Stuff them.
Yeah, nice. Okay, we can set that up easy.
Done.
We can drill down. Excellent. You have a good day, bro.
2 minutes late to my other one. You guys are worth it. Love you, bro. See you soon.
See you later.
Peace.
Thank you. Later,
bro. Ciao, bro.
Thanks for joining us on today's show. Check out PacificRugbyPlayers.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter to stay on top of all news relating to Pacific Rugby Players and to find out when we drop our next episode of PRP Radio.